was an absolutely huge story, a massive event yesterday with Cardinal George Pell. But today, Cardinal Pell will appear at a pre-sentence submissions and will be remanded in custody. He's likely to be sentenced, initially I heard, in the coming weeks, but possibly by next week. But if we wind back the clock to 2016, Lucy Morris-Marr was one of the first, or the first, to break the story that Cardinal George Pell was the subject of a year-long secret police probe over allegations of historic sexual abuse. It's been a story that has come at a personal cost to her, but she was there in court to hear the verdict come down. Good morning to you.
Morning.
What was your reaction when you sat in the courtroom and heard the word guilty?
It was extraordinary, actually, and like quite a lot of people in the room, it was quite shocking and surprising because we'd had, of course, a first trial that resulted in a hung jury, and a lot of us, you know, thought, okay, it's going to be the similar. Pell's team had rebooted their defence. It was very strong. His barrister had spoken for 2 days, and a closing address was almost unprecedented. He'd even done a PowerPoint presentation that many court reporters had never seen before. So, first of all, it was extremely shocking because we'd sat outside for 3 days waiting, and then there was this guilty, and it really was a bolt that sort of went round the whole courtroom, and I did feel quite tearful at that point, because the first guilty was relating to the first charge, which was relating to the choir boy who since died, who didn't cope with the abuse. It sent him in a spiral of drug addiction, and it was very touching. I felt that he was getting justice in that moment, even though he wasn't here to see it and he wasn't part of it. So that very first guilty that was spoken had so much weight and emotion around it, and quite a few advocates in the room were crying, and I've written a piece of the New Daily that we published today about that reaction and how Pell just looked down, he put his hands on his legs and just looked down, and you just saw it was over, he knew it, and his lawyers put their hands in their heads. It was all just happening at once, but it was, yeah, an extraordinary moment in history, actually.
One of the other elements of the story that's been given some focus now that the suppression orders have been lifted has been the fallout regarding some journalists and reporters who breached those suppression orders early on, and what will now happen to them, their careers, etc. Your price, however, came at a different cost and for a different reason. It was more to do with, well, I mean, you basically say that you were forced out of your job because of reporting on the story in the way that should have been reported upon.
Yes, and when I broke the story in 2016, I can only describe it as setting off an earthquake, and I sort of upset the ecosystem. I think at the Herald Sun, like Bolt, immediately was able and allowed to publish a column in my own paper, dissing my story, calling it a witch hunt. He was speculating on sources that we were supposed to protect. So it was very confusing. It was very isolating. But I was, in my view, even though I was working with the Herald Sun, I represent the public. That's what journalists should do, and I will question anybody. And so I questioned my own management, my own bosses, and said, what's going on? That didn't go down too well. That's okay. You know, you learn where your tribe is. And so I moved on. I've since been delighted to work with some amazing media outlets on this story, including the New Daily and CNN and other people. So, you know, you just have to keep moving forward. But it's a story actually that has rocked, obviously, the Catholic Church, but the media and also the legal system. It's almost like everything's been on trial. This story has tested everyone involved.
What is your perspective on the suppression orders? I mean, it's been very difficult, hasn't it? International press has reported on this case. How difficult is it from a journalistic perspective?
In December, it was very, very hard. There's a core group of us, about 7 or 8 of us journalists from The Guardian, ABC, Wall Street Journal, etc., who were there for every single day. That was 10 weeks of our lives over 2 trials, last year. And there we were not able to report the story that we had in our hands. But actually, I was one of the few journalists who supported the suppression order, because when you're in that courtroom and you've got 12 members of the public who've almost been pulled off the street to judge this very high profile person, you realize how fragile it is, and actually you should do anything to make sure fair justice happens. So it was often the people who were complaining about the suppression order, overseas journalists, etc., hadn't been in the courtroom, they hadn't invested the time of the staff to go to it and really understand it, that yes, there was a second trial that's now collapsed, but the potential was the jury, if there was saturation media in December, that jury of a second trial could have been prejudiced. And what's but more important than everyone knowing was a fair justice being carried out. And even though it was frustrating, and of course you want to tell people, that had to come first rather than people knowing a couple months later. We knew that everyone would know, but I actually began to realize the importance of that in this case anyway.
Cardinal Pell will be remanded in custody after a plea hearing today at the county court. Will you be going there?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, this is a key day, and it's been going. This case has been going since July 2017. This is one of the biggest days now to see this. It's an extraordinary moment in history to see Cardinal Pell, the Prince of the Church, who rose to the Vatican. He's going to be in the dock and then led away by a guard down through the county court, down to the basement, where he will then go in a prison van to Melbourne Assessment Prison, which currently houses some of the most high-profile Melbourne killers, including James Todd. And he will be alongside those people. And I've learned from my sources, he'll be in the protection wing, which is the highest security area. He will not mix with any other prisoners at the moment because of the publicity and the high profile nature of his case, and he will be in a jail cell for 23 hours a day until he's sentenced and Corrections Victoria decides which prison he'll go to next. Probably not a high security prison like Barwon or Port Phillip, likely to be one in the countryside like Ararat, where they actually house a lot of clergy, paedophile priests. So he may actually end up being alongside people he has met before.
This is obviously a story about Cardinal George Pell, but it's also a massive story about the human carnage that these stories leave behind. As a reporter that's been on this story for years now, you must have developed relationships and an ability to kind of understand that cost. What can you tell us about that?
It's come at a huge cost, and yesterday, like the surviving choir boy, there was two of them, one of them obviously who died a few years ago, he put out a heart-rending statement saying about the shame and loneliness he's felt and how he should have been able to trust Cardinal Pell, and he didn't. He also said he just wants to get on with his life, etc. I also know the family of the deceased choir boy are devastated. This is a mother who can't hug her son. He was an uncle who doesn't play with his nieces and nephews. There's so many people affected by this. His own father now is going to launch a civil case against the church. He's devastated. It just affects so many people. But also, hopefully, it does inspire other survivors to come forward and know that justice can be served. It does take time, sadly, but it can happen. And even the most senior people can be accountable.
Thank you, Lucy Morris-Marr, for your work on this story over the many years. That's Lucy Morris-Marr. She is a writer now for The New Daily, and as she mentioned, there will be a piece that she'll be publishing today that details her experience in being in that courtroom and covering the story for many years.